And here we are, back for another morning. The Now program, WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, Thursday, March the 19th, 2020, 14 minutes past the hour here. And we're back for another day in the news in Ohio and across the country. Just keeps getting more interesting, and we continue to try to balance the news with the coronavirus, with trying not to panic and trying to go about our daily lives. Now, at this particular point, what we do know locally are some things. We do know that people should keep their distance. I believe it's still 6 feet. We do know that the mayor here in Marion yesterday declared a civil emergency for the firefighters. Now, this is kind of complicated, and I think basically, as I read the proclamation yesterday, it has to do with no firefighters being on vacation, no firefighters being on leave, that if they are needed, they can be ready within 24 hours. And it is because of the coronavirus. That is how the proclamation reads. So we can have first responders ready to go, and that came down last night from the mayor. So there has been a civil emergency, is what it's called. So a civil emergency has been put in place. Now, all the groups that covers, I really don't know. I know the firefighters have posted it on their page, the City of Marion, Ohio Fire Department. If you want to go to Facebook and take a look at it, you can see what the proclamation says. I'm not going to read the whole thing on the air, but that's what it is right now, the City of Marion, Ohio Fire Department Facebook page. So a civil emergency declared in the City of Marion by Mayor Scott Schertzer last night. I don't know if that's ever happened before. I don't know. We'd have to check the records on that and go with the historians, but it's my understanding, to try to keep the panic kind of low here, all that means is that we want everybody ready, that we don't need people on vacation, we don't need people on leave at this point who are able to work, that they can be ready in a moment's notice. Now, as you know, we have been all week kind of updating you on what's been going on with the daycare situation in Marion. As of this past Monday, there was only one daycare still open in Marion. That was Emmanuel Lutheran Child Care. We had the director on, Abby Croman, on Monday. She even stopped by again yesterday. They were still opened as of yesterday, but that is no more. As of last night, they did close. So, no Emmanuel Lutheran Daycare anymore as of this morning. And there's a reason for that, and it's posted online. I'm not going to get into it at this point because I don't know the details of it. If Abby wants to let us know or is able to let us know at some point this morning, we will be glad to welcome her in here as we have. I don't know what her morning looks like. I'm sure it's a very busy morning at this point. I will say that. But if she would like to bring diet soda and eggs and sausage, we would not stop Abby from doing that. But I know she's under a lot of pressure right now, but she is up to the task of handling this. I have no doubt about this. I'm sure Abby is ready to go and will handle this with the same intelligence and dignity and calming nature that she handles everything. And I'm sure that's people know that who know her, and that's what will happen. So that's on the agenda this morning. What can you say? Here we are, folks. I don't want to talk about anything trivial at this moment. I do have a story about McDonald's this morning, and it does have to do with coronavirus because I have not seen this before, but things are changing. We now know that hair salons are closed as of today. We now know that nail salons are closed. We know that tattoo parlors are closed. We're getting to the point where most things are closed. Walmart is adjusting their hours again. Grocery stores such as Kroger, I know Kroger for sure, has now limited the amount of bread you can buy at one time. I believe it's down to 3 loaves at this point. Now, again, this is not, it's an effect of coronavirus, but it's not because of coronavirus. The problem is that people are buying too much at one time, and other people can't get to it. So it has nothing to do with the coronavirus causing a shortage. It's because of the people who are panicked, who are buying too much, that are causing the problem. So if we can just back off for a minute, the grocery stores have not closed, and I don't believe will close. The restaurants still have not closed. We still have carryout. If we can just buy like we normally would buy, I think the store shelves could get restocked, and everything would be okay. We're going to be joined by a visitor here in just a moment via telephone, and I actually think this is an important person to talk to. So within the minute, I think we're going to be joined by them. And it's a conversation to be held because, as I've always said, I don't know that this is so much about the pandemic, because the pandemic, thank goodness, has not killed anybody in Ohio yet. The numbers keep going up, but we expect that. We expect the numbers to go up for about another month. But the problem here in Ohio at this particular point and all around the country, I still believe this is not the pandemic, not the medical part of this. Although we have to be careful, it is the panic. This is why the grocery store shelves are empty. This is why you can only buy 3 loaves of bread now and a lot of other items. This is why you can't find toilet paper right now. It is a panic. Have we ever faced anything like this before where everything is being shut down? Certainly not in anybody's lifetime who is living now. But that's why I wanted to have our guest on this morning here via telephone, because I believe it's important to get some clarity in moments like this and just clear some things up. He's a good friend of this program, a good friend of mine, and a good friend of the Marion communities for so many years. He served as the chaplain at Marion General Hospital for many, many years. He is the Reverend Dan Kiger. Reverend Kiger, how are you?
Oh, thank you, Scott. Thank you for reaching out to me. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Well, I appreciate you coming on because after days of doing this, it has become apparent that people are scared, people are panicked, and I think in a moment like this, we turn to people like you who have dealt with this, certainly at the hospital, and working as a reverend here in the Marion community. What have you made of this whole thing, the coronavirus outbreak since last Thursday?
Well, a whole bunch of stuff, of course. First of all, of course, I'm like you, and I'm a lot older than you, and I don't remember anything like this. My older siblings tell me they can remember when they were little kids that, you know, drastic stuff like this was happening during World War II, but being a baby boomer, I don't remember that, so I don't remember anything like this, even close to this. That's the first thing I would say. I think it appears that as I look around and watch, you were so right on about just the grabbing that is. When I go to the grocery, and the pickup part, I don't even go with, and I people coming out, just, you know, carts of not only the important necessity stuff, I mean, you know, pop and beer, potato chips, stuff like that. It makes one if we will descend, or we will have crisis like this. Lincoln, in the middle of the war, called us get in touch with angel. I think that was even the phrase he might that would certainly be for now. Gosh, I know there's a lot of really stuff going on. Somebody, this morning, we're having a conversation from a long time ago in my life, far away now, reached out to me and said, are you okay? And so we are thinking of each other in nice ways, in ways that kind of, you know, all the money, all the race, all the gender, all the age, all that. But we probably all need to watch a little less and get a little less hyped up about it, because when we're scared, we defensive, become very drawn into ourselves, caring only about ourselves when we're scared.
And, Reverend Kiger, you're cutting out a little bit. Could you say that again?
Sorry, maybe I'm holding the phone wrong. Is that any better?
That's better.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Give us the part about Lincoln again, because I think that was important, but I think we were starting to cut out.
Okay, great. Scott, I just got to tell you first, there's always a danger in asking an old preacher to talk about anything, because we just go on and on and on. So please jump in wherever you need to. Anyway, the whole business about, I think Lincoln is the one in the middle of the Civil War who called us to get in touch with the better angels in ourselves. And I hope that's what's happening, can happen here. When we're scared, we do get defensive and possessive, and we worry about the wrong stuff. Like you said, like having more toilet paper than anybody else and all that kind of stuff, which kind of silly things. But hopefully some noble stuff comes out of us also. Maybe I said this before or after Lincoln, but just this morning, somebody that from my past that I really haven't had any contact with for years, lives far away, reached out to me and said, how are you? Thinking about you. So those are the kinds of human contacts that can result from a time like this also. That's what I think I said.
Yeah, and I think that's very important, and as I have said from the beginning of this, I certainly understand the pandemic aspect of this. I understand what the governor's doing. I understand what the doctors are saying, but facts are facts at this point. The cases are not huge. Nobody has died, thank goodness, in Ohio, but yet you can't buy more than 3 loaves of bread at the grocery store right now. The shelves are bare. Businesses are shut down. People are worried about where their next paycheck's going to come from. I understand the panic.
Absolutely. I do, too. I think if I were a working person, I have the luxury of being retired now, so I don't have to worry about where my next paycheck is going to come from. I quit worrying about that some years ago now. But if I were, especially if I were in a service industry, if I were a waitress or a waiter in a restaurant that has had to shut down, or any number of these other industries and businesses, and now the auto industry, I would be scared. I would just simply be financially scared. I don't want to get real political on us, but I was watching an interview the other day with the great historian Doris Kearns Goodwin, who likened our fears now to the fears that Franklin Roosevelt addressed in his first inaugural, when obviously the country was in the throes of that horrible depression. And we know he said the only thing we have to fear the sphere itself. That's, I mean, he touched such a nerve in all of us and greatly relieved the country by announcing programs that would help them, but also identifying what was going on in them. I don't think people are mean, particularly right now, or I don't think people are ugly and selfish as much as they're financially scared. So you're right. We simply need to understand that we're all kind of afraid together, but that we are all in this together. Yeah.
Well, that is true. We will make it through this together. But the interesting thing is the only thing I think anybody can compare this to who is alive right now is possibly 9/11. But with 9/11, it was a one-day event. It happened in New York. And the message after 9/11 was get back to your daily life. Go back and buy things. The terrorists have not won. This is different because we're talking about the date changes. You know, last night I heard Governor DeWine in an interview with Colleen Marshall on Channel 4, and he's saying he's listening to the experts. Could be a month, could be May, could be longer. We're going to see what the medical experts have to say. It's changing everybody's life. And it's just causing abject panic.
You're right. You're absolutely right. And obviously, we're all scared when we don't know what the heck is going on. And that certainly is part of what's true right now. Maybe the best thing I can say is not even to quote. Not even to quote the Bible or anybody else particularly, but to quote Mr. Rogers, who in the middle of, I think, of the 9/11 thing said, look for the helping people. When you're scared, look for the helpers, basically, and focus on them. And so I think you and I and all of us have to focus on the medical people who are doing their darndest, who are... I was talking to the family of a young doctor yesterday. I mean, and they're scared. They're scared that he's going to get the coronavirus, which, thank God, like you said, doesn't seem to be as bad as it certainly could be. But we want to reach out to those medical people, those nurses. Of course, as you know, I've worked around them for years and years, and they give their all to us, and they're the ones we really need to be thankful for and focusing on. I would hope that this can be a time when some of our fears can be replaced by gratitude.
Well, and that's exactly right, and I remember that Mr. Rogers PSA after 9/11 so well. Look for the helpers. It's interesting, Reverend Kiger, though, because somewhere along the line in this whole thing, and you working with people at the hospital for so many years, I think, can understand this. Something got lost in the fact that, and Governor DeWine said this the other day, that most people who get this won't even go to the hospital. They'll just have symptoms, and when they have symptoms, they should stay at home and self-quarantine. Now, if you need to go to the hospital, do it. If you're elderly, if you're a child, if you're in the risk groups, if you have a pre-existing condition, you need to do that. But there will be people who get this who don't go to the hospital. 80,000 people in China had it. 65,000 have already went back to work. But people are not hearing that. They're hearing the awful part of it. How do we get people to hear the right part?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think who knows for sure? Time will heal some of those wounds. I think the more days that you and I wake up and realize that, hey, we survived, and hey, it's not so bad. I think that will help. I really do think. I think we need to spend a little time, all of us, maybe reading one article about COVID-19 educating ourselves a little bit. And then essentially turn our TVs off unless we're going to watch old things that make us laugh. Because honestly, and I don't mean to knock anybody in the media business particularly, but you could, if we jump from one network to another, we could be stirred up all the time. And I think the hours we spend on TV, watching TV, could be better spent probably if we would take 20 minutes of that time and call a couple of people and make sure they're okay and realize that we are a human family, not that we are not a bunch of human competitors who are scratching out trying survival for some limited resources. Everybody says if we didn't hoard, those resources wouldn't seem limited at all. Everybody'd have enough bread. Everybody'd have enough toilet paper. That's one of the great things about this very blessed country we live in. Until we start grabbing all that we can grab, that's tough. Somehow, we need to spend less time gazing at our own scared navels and reaching out to others. I know that sounds simplistic, but it seems to me that's going to help get us through this. I really do.
It's a very important message to have out there, and Reverend Kiger, and I certainly appreciate the time here, but to those people right now who cannot go to a restaurant and sit down with their normal group, who cannot be in a group of more than 5 or 10, and we're keeping our 6-foot distance at this particular point, and we don't know how long this is going on. That's the unknown factor of this. And even if nobody in our groups or our families ever contract this, but we're still going to the grocery store and we're overbuying, and we can't get toilet paper, and we're limited on bread, we're limited on milk, we're limited on hand sanitizer. As a man of faith who dealt with people in the hospital who were in precarious positions with family members, what do you say to those people right now? What is the best advice as we go through this, which seems we're going to for at least another month?
Almost cliche, but it's really true. Talk less and listen more. Those people that you've gotten together at McDonald's or Perkins or wherever and had coffee with every morning, don't forget about them. Call them. Reach out to them. God knows we all have cell phones now. We all know how to get a hold of each other, and if we don't, there's always a 9-year-old around who can help us. Old people navigate our way through cell phones and stuff. Reach out to those people. Tell them, they need to know just because of this that you have not forgotten the pleasure you get from them and the bonds that we have. Reach out to each other. Like I said, talk less and listen more. That'd be my advice.
It's a good message, and you know, Reverend Kiger, in parting here, it's very interesting because I'm seeing churches tell people to stay home and watch it on the internet. I'm seeing signs posted. I've never seen anything like that in the history of the United States. It's completely different, and I think a lot of people are angry, not at the churches, but I think they're angry with their belief about how could God let something like this happen. What is the answer to that?
Well, ultimately, I guess there's no answer other than the fact that if we believe that God gives us a lot of freedom, he gives us the freedom to love each other, and he also gives us make each other's. God didn't do this to us at all. He simply allows us to do things to you're asking the most important question of all. You're asking a question that is asked in public by somebody in every war that does not violate. I guess that's the short answer. But, you know, obviously, you're way onto something. But when you want to go back to the hospital time, it's good. I don't. The presence of a holy person, of a cleric or whatever, of a chaplain, it gets people to pray to God so much to wipe away the natural events of life as much as simply to pray with them that God will walk with them through whatever it is there. That's not satisfactory to one answer, but that certainly is the answer to why.
Mm. Well, I can't thank you enough, Reverend Kiger, for calling in this morning. And Reverend Daniel Kiger, of course, was the chaplain at Marion General Hospital for so many years and a fixture here in the Marion community. Thank you for calling in this morning, because I think it's important to have these conversations not only with doctors and politicians at this point, but also with people who have faith and have been in the community for a long time. Thank you, Reverend Kiger, for calling in.
You bet. When we are out and about, I look forward to seeing you, Scott. Thank you.
Absolutely. Stay well. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
The Reverend Dan Kiger. So there you go. And I think those are important messages to talk about. We are where we are. And I wanted to have the Reverend Kiger on this morning because I know people have issues right now with panic. And that is where we are. And we've got to start talking about that as opposed to this pandemic. Keep the pandemic in mind. Keep the idea that there is illness out there. Keep the idea that the numbers are growing every day. But also keep in mind, think about the good things. Nobody's died in Ohio yet. Nobody, to my knowledge, from this illness. That could change, but it hasn't happened yet. And even if it does happen, it will be low numbers right now compared to anything else. Let's go to the phones here. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning, Scott.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you this morning?
Doing well.
That was a very good, interesting interview with the Reverend.
Well, I think at some point, you know, we're talking to the politicians, we're talking to the doctors, and I think at some point people do need faith. And people do have to hear from somebody who worked at Marion General Hospital for so many years, from people with people who were dying or who had family members who were dying. And I think a chaplain is the right person to hear from in a time like this.
Yeah, very good interview. And he had a lot of good, well, points that the American people should do. You know, definitely just all come together and. You know, I just had a brilliant idea this morning. You want to hear it?
Go ahead.
I think they should shut everything. I know people are going, there's the emails, by the way, people. They should shut everything down, right? Shut everything down but the grocery stores, of course. And gas stations should just be shut down, but you need gas without, you just prepay at the pump before you're the one. And then the store people will deliver to the food, but they have hazmat suits. And everybody that works, you know, that can't work, of course, get their unemployment, right? Get their unemployment. And then the people that can work at home, work at home. I think that could probably work. Just, you know, have everybody stay home. But, you know, the problem is people don't sit. They don't follow the rules. There's going to be people out there that, you know, I'm not going to listen. And that's the problem in the world today. Because these people out there, that there's always people out in the world that don't want to follow the directions because, you know, you're not going to tell me what to do. You know what I mean? And that's what's wrong a lot of the situations that we're going to be going through right now. And so it's going to slow things down when people don't follow doctor's orders. We'll say they do have. Are they really self-quarantined? We don't know. If somebody's not monitoring them 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So we really don't know. They might be leaving. You know what I mean? So... that's the problem.
But I don't know. You know, I don't think at this point,
I don't know if this is the right answer. I don't know what the right answer is. I know what the doctors are saying. I know that self-quarantine, they seem to think, is a good idea. But you know what? If you have I'll tell you an honest thing. I was going through McDonald's this morning, and McDonald's has new signs posted this morning that their employees are wearing gloves. Even the ones at the windows are wearing gloves now, so they do not come in contact with the skin of the people in the drive-through window. I have noticed that it seems like they have a policy about, you know, just picking your food up off the counter instead of them handing it to you, although they weren't doing that through the window, and obviously you can't go inside McDonald's right now. But the point is, the car in front of me, I saw the guy sneezing. He was in his car, and he was sneezing, and I saw him go to his handkerchief to get it out. Now, does he have coronavirus? Probably not. He probably doesn't, but yeah,
I'm not laughing because of that. Just the way you said it. So, folks, I'm not laughing about the coronavirus at all. It's a dangerous situation right now.
Right,
so
right. But
I was just laughing how you said that.
Right, but you know, he probably doesn't have it. But the point is that I don't believe people are going to self-quarantine, because some people do have to go to work, and if your job still is open, you probably are going to go.
Right, exactly. Because a lot of employers expect you to be there. Even though, I mean, especially if they're not shut down, they expect you to be there. So that's another situation. I mean, I know Mike DeWine is shut down a lot of the situation, a lot of places, but there is some businesses that are still open, of course. And hopefully, I don't know. I don't know what the next step is, but, you know, there's a lot of businesses, they shouldn't be open right now.
Well, as Reverend Kiger said,
I think gas stations should be shut down. I mean, you could prepay at a pump before you go out, and prepay at the pump.
Well, I think Reverend Kiger. I think Reverend Kiger said this best. I mean, you cannot shut down the grocery store, because you want to panic people. That'll do it, where people cannot go in and get food. Now, and especially because we've been telling people, don't overbuy. Underbuy, leave stuff on the shelf. Let people, well, then you close the grocery store. They're going to say, well, I should have overbought, because now you're not open and I can't get anything. You know, that's a tricky thing to navigate.
Okay, how about this? How about, what is it, like 10 people? Won't have somebody standing out front, you know, like they do on Black Friday before they open the stores, and just let a certain amount of, you know, instead of letting everybody in, have somebody there count each person, and then you have a limited time, go in there and grab what you have, and, you know,
because
get out.
I think the problem is because then you're going to put the group that is at the highest risk, because not all the elderly people are going during this 1 hour of time. Not all of them can when they're allowing the elderly to be in. And now there is no school, so kids are out, and people can't afford babysitters because they don't have a job right now. And I don't think it's practical if you make 40 people stand outside who have, yesterday it rained all day, who are elderly, who have kids, and they're going to touch each other in the line anyway. You know, you're not going to make 40 people in a line stand 6 feet apart.
I mean, I understand that, but the problem is right now, it's going to be a long time until they can get this under control, because, you know, of the grocery store problem, because people are going to go to the grocery store, because you don't know if they're a carrier or not until, because sometimes, what is it, like up to 10 days, 2 weeks, whatever, before you even know you have the, if you're a carrier or not. So if you're a carrier on any kind of flu or a cold or whatever, it usually takes about 2 weeks that I know of before you even see the symptoms. So we have a long time coming, and because if you're a carrier, I mean, it's going to just keep going and going and going. So I don't know how long the things go on for things being shut down for the economy to stay afloat.
See, that's the problem, though. You close the grocery stores, and you're going to tank the economy even worse. The economy
right now has no tie to this illness. The illness itself, the coronavirus illness, has nothing to do with the economy. It's the steps we are taking because of it that are causing problems in the economy. Closing everything. You cannot close everything and expect the economy to stay afloat.
Right, and that's the only thing you can do at this point to try to get this thing under wraps, because if you keep everything open, people are going to go out. I mean, like I said, it's just like, but again, people are not going to stay home anyway, so...
Well, if they're not going to stay home anyway, then you might as well just leave the places open. We're narrowing it down at this point to the point to where I don't know beyond grocery stores at this point that a whole lot of places are open or are allowed to be open at this point. So, you know, we're getting to the point where there aren't going to be a whole lot of places open. And, you know, I think people who are going to the grocery store are being cautious because they know what's going on.
Is this true? I mean, I saw this on Facebook. I didn't really research it last night because it was really late when I saw this. So Delaware has one case now, I saw. Is that true?
Yeah, I believe that is true.
Okay, so Marion has zero still.
Still zero.
And then Delaware has one.
And so again, we're not talking huge numbers here.
Not right now, I mean, but it could get worse, though.
It's going to get worse. It's like the flu. That's why we have a flu season. But again, what people have to realize, and the governor said this in the press conference yesterday, and this is why I'm running it on the news every hour. He said the majority of people who get this will not ever go to the hospital. They won't have to. They will just be able to stay home, get through it, don't go outside while you have it, and get better. We have amped this up that if you get it, you're going to die. Or if you get it, you're going to have to be in the hospital. That's not the case. And people have got to start realizing that.
Right. See, I'm a diabetic, so I'm a higher risk. Diabetic, yes, I'm younger. I'm not at that higher age limit. But I do have
well, but I mean, but look at this. I mean, it takes 2 days for the symptoms to show. Now, you work at a place where other people work. Now, are you staying home? You might. You say you're in the risk factor, and you don't know.
I know. I agree with you on that, and I'm trying to work out a deal. But, you know...
But sometimes we don't have time to work out a deal. Sometimes it's just I'm going to stay home because that's what essentially we're telling people to do. Stay home, and you know, a lot of people can't work out deals. Obviously, you haven't got your deal worked out yet.
No, I'm trying to work on that still, and because I mean it's kind of I have sleep apnea, so that's not good either because it affects your lungs. So it is what it is at this point. I mean, it's just hopefully, they can figure out what's going on, what's causing it exactly, why we have so many cases around America. I mean, I don't know how it got into America.
We have the cases. The problem here is just simply put, and this is as flat out as you can get it. It came here. That happens. It's a strain of a type of a flu that is just worse than normal flu is. And we don't have a vaccination that we can give people. Now, we obviously can treat it because people are surviving it. More people are surviving it than who are dying from it. So the point is what has happened is we're just trying to stop the spread of it so those people who are at risk are not going to get it. But in doing that, we have caused a panic that has driven people to the norm. If people could take this information, hey, we're going to close the restaurants, we're going to close the bars, we're going to close tattoo parlors and hair shops and all these things, schools. If people could have taken that information and still gone about their daily life and bought one loaf of bread like they normally do and 1 gallon of milk like they normally do, we would have been fine, but that's not what they're doing.
Right, yeah, they're hoarding stuff, yeah. And I'm sure let's face it. I mean, if you buy all the milk expires eventually. I mean, what, 2 weeks usually? So why are you buying all the milk? Because it expires. Are you like, are they drinking that much milk? I don't get it. Toilet paper, what is the point to have all the toilet paper in your house?
Because people think they're going to be inside for a long time, because we're getting conflicting opinions. You know, we're hearing nationally this could go on till August. We're hearing from the governor that maybe it'll be the end of May. Nobody knows. That's what one of the problems with this thing is, and I'm not saying these people know the answers. I don't think they do know the answers. But the problem is that the biggest fear in life is the unknown, and I think people don't know right now.
Well, true, because as far as I know, I think your lifetime, my lifetime, and our grandpa and grandma's lifetime, I don't think this has ever really happened before in America. It's bad. I'm a panic. I mean, of course, back in the days before media and stuff, yeah, there was probably small towns that knew about, you know, diseases and stuff that were going around. But now we have this media, worldwide, you know, we have, like, social media, we have telephone media. I mean, we have any kind of media that you can think of that can stir things up and make people panic so bad. And that's what, I mean, that's what a lot of it is. Over-dramatized. Now, yeah, do we have an epidemic going on? Yeah, we sure we do. I mean, yes, it's in America that, you know, the coronavirus. But people have got to settle down just a little bit and relax.
Well, and that's the point. If you can walk into a grocery store today and you can just do normal shopping like you would do, maybe a few days worth of shopping, which is what most people do, it's going to be fine. But when you try to go in and you try to buy 15 loaves of bread and 15 packages of buns and 4 or 5 gallons of milk, well, you know what? The stores are not equipped for that for every citizen in a community.
Absolutely. Well, Scott, I thank you for taking my call this morning. I just wanted to give you my little bit of opinion that I thought of this morning. I just thought about that this morning. It's like, oh, maybe if the store workers were hazmat suit.
Well, I just hope the longer it goes on, the more calm we get, and that's usually what happens in a situation like this. But who knows? People keep watching those numbers, yeah. And I don't know. I don't know what the thing will be at this point.
Yeah, hopefully it'll all get better eventually here.
God knows we hope. Well, thanks for calling in.
Talk to you.
Okay, bye-bye. Well, there we go. And again, we thank Reverend Kiger for calling in. Now, the phone lines are open, 740-383-9944, 56 minutes past the hour. Don't forget, Charlie Evers, I believe, will be back today. That is my understanding. He'll be here 10 until 12 today, and Glenn Coble will be on from 12 until 1, so we will have programming here all morning to keep you abreast of what is going on. But as we have it now, civil emergency in the city of Marion in regard to the firefighters. But all that means at this point is that they're being called back from vacation. Vacations are being canceled in case there is anything to deal with. That's what that means at this point. And Emmanuel Lutheran Child Care, which was the last child care operation open, is no longer opened at this point as of this morning. So that's what we know at this point. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. We can probably get a call in here before the top of the hour break. Does anybody have anything to say about Reverend Kiger or anything we've discussed here in hour number one this morning? It's an interesting, interesting time. I'm not even really sure what to say at this point, because I was in the grocery store last night, and I saw the limit of 3 bread. I saw the limit of 3 milk. I saw the limit on toilet paper still. I hope everybody stops buying huge amounts of stuff. We've been in this a week now, and the grocery stores are not closing. So
you know, understand that. And you can still get takeout food at your restaurant. You can still go to fast food places. There are places to get food. We don't have to be overly done in this particular situation right now. It doesn't have to be like it has evolved. And I hope that we can evolve back a little bit, that we can dial this back a little bit and drop the panic, which is what we've been saying since day one. Less panic, more focus on the actual pandemic that it actually is. Go ahead, caller.
Yes, I am just wondering about this coronavirus. I live by myself. I'm an elderly lady, and I actually don't have no one to help me or anything else. And I'm just listening to the program day after day. And I just feel that if everybody would put this in God's hands, I think this would come out to a better situation and people would stop hoarding and stuff like that. I mean, people like me, I don't have the money. I don't have no way of going. And I don't know what I'm to do. And I just sit here and worry every day, you know, and I have a lot of health problems, and I'm certainly not going to go out and maybe catch a coronavirus. And well, I do need someone to look after me, you know, to make sure I'm all right and stuff. I don't know who to turn to.
Well, ma'am, we're going to take care of this here because there are a lot of people out there listening. We're listening here. I think I have your phone number, which came up on the caller ID there. Now, so at this, yeah. You need some help here. Do you need somebody to go to the grocery store with you? I heard
I don't have money. That's what I'm telling you. I'm on a fixed income. I pay high rent. And I have to pay for my medicine and all kinds of stuff. And by the time I do that, I'm completely broke until the next month.
Well, ma'am,
and what do I do? Where do I turn?
Well, you've turned to the right place here this morning. Hang with us. Keep listening to the program. You're going to stay with the program, right, this morning?
Right.
Okay, I have your phone number. We're going to do something. We're going to ask the listeners here, and we're going to get somebody to... Do you mind if we give your phone number out over the air? Is that okay?
No, you may do that. Yes, you may do that.
Okay, I will get your phone number here. Keep listening. We're going to do something when we come back on the opposite side of the hour. So stay tuned, ma'am. We're going to take care of you here.
Okay, all right. Thank you so very much, and God bless everybody.
Thank you. Okay, and if there's anybody in that situation, you know, we're not the police department, but call here. We have devoted listeners who will help people. We're going to take care of that lady. We got a break. We're going to come back on the other side.
Star of Picket Fences, Five-ish Finkel.
Oh, if I were a rich man, he-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba- wealthy man. I wouldn't have to work hard if I were any rich man. I'd build a big tall house with rooms.